Over the next few weeks, we'll continue to explore what Paul in Galatians calls the fruit of the Spirit. Last week, Simon introduced the topic. Oh, hello, it's working. Why grow fruit? In fact, he said, we are all growing fruit of some sort. The good stuff is the kingdom of God stuff, as Jesus would put it. Paul calls the other stuff works of the flesh. Essentially, it's about our attitudes and behaviours, isn't it? So, next week, we're cultivating peace in an anxious world. Sounds good, doesn't it? Somewhere along the line, patience in a fast food world, goodness in a Marvel hero world, self-control in a world out of control. Today, we're considering cultivating joy in a pleasure-filled world. So what gives you joy? What gives you pleasure? It's July, so of course we're all thinking about Christmas, aren't we? Yeah? Christmas, the good news story of Jesus. Candace is nodding because I know she does a program for Christmas. Good on you, Candace. Christmas is all about the good news story of Jesus, isn't it? Hope, peace, love, joy. And the gifts, the giving, books, games, perfume, socks, toy cars, and Barbie dolls. Yep, big news story out there. The Barbie doll movie is out. Talk to Abby. It's so important. Even on ABC 7:30 a week or so ago, Margot Robbie, Barbie, and the director were interviewed. That's pretty amazing. Apparently, we're getting a retake on the joy of Barbie. Or I say, more likely, a resell. A huge marketing push. Whoever said I was cynical? No one. I have another story. The biggest news story in the world, really. And as ancient as the beginnings. Freedom. Freedom. This is what we human beings have. Did I disappoint you? Freedom. Animals, as we know, essentially worked with instinct. I have a dog, puppy training. Pavlov's dog, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's about 85% going okay. But we as people have choice. We can choose. Even those of us in desperate straits. And I'm not saying it's easy, but we can choose our attitudes and mindsets, our behaviours and our approaches to life, to the life we're experiencing now. You think about that Ukraine fighter who was a Russian prisoner of war. You may have heard snippets of that over the week. There's a certain attitude and a response to the situation you're in that keeps you alive and experiencing life as fully as you possibly can. I think of my son and daughter-in-law and their little special needs boy, Zeke. Of course, they have their moments. They really do. But they take great joy in some of the literal steps he takes as his hand held. And they take joy in the support they receive from their church family. So, I'm talking about attitudes and mindsets. We speak of pessimists, those who have a negative outlook on life. You know, glass half empty, you know them. We speak of optimists, those who have a positive outlook, glass half full. You know them too. My dad, way back, I think he wanted to be one of those. He would read over and over and over again a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. We also speak of realists, those who straddle the middle road. Glass has stuff in it. Our current familiar expression is, it is what it is. Although, in my mind, it has a little twang of pessimism. It is what it is. I guess it could be, it is what it is. Anyway. But I wonder, what about us as people of faith? In red, I have here, I was going to edit it out, but I'll just play a little thing with you. Can I push the analogy? Can I say we have a glass of stuff and there's my response to it? It tells me something about myself, about God and others. I want it. I can share it. I know God is the provider of all good things, and God's Holy Spirit as comforter and encourager is there. Always. Anyway, just a few ideas. But back to freedom. We can choose to partner with God. We can choose with his Holy Spirit within us, prompting and directing and showing and guiding us. We can choose to partner with God or not. And we've all done it at different times, chosen the not. And I wonder why, because that's my big life question, why, not how. I wonder if we've chosen the not because we can. Or, like our theme for today suggests, we choose for pleasure instead of joy. Now, there's nothing wrong with pleasure. Stop a moment and think about what gives you pleasure. What about food? Few of us nodding. Good food. Yummy food. Chocolate. Maybe you like the occasional glass of beer, champagne, or a G&T on a Friday night. Can I say that? Maybe entertainment brings you pleasure. Love that gold class ticket we got and could use service to the seat. What a gift that was from someone. Pets give us great pleasure, mostly. Puppies are a lot of fun, mostly. And then there's pet therapy when the dog or the creature is well trained. What about gardening? Well, I just say each to their own. And physical activity or sport, again, each to their own. Then there's art, getting your hands or via a paintbrush, however you do your art. So many good gifts from God. Our ancient scriptures, though, seem to tell us that joy and pleasure may be two very different things. Maybe it's pleasure or it's joy. Are we missing out then? Or maybe it's about both and more. Well, let's have a look at our text for today. It's the same as last week. There's something about staying in a passage of scripture for a while. So from Galatians 5, verses 13 to 26, if you've got a device, you could pull it up. If you've got a paper thing, you could use that too. I'm assuming it's coming on the screen, but maybe not. No, I'm getting a shake of no. All right, you can hear my voice. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, says Paul, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I always hate reading this bit. Kind of want to edit it out, but for the sake of the story. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. Well, that wasn't us, was it? Maybe the next bit might be us. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Paul says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. Phew! Galatians 5:13 reminds the Christians in Galatia, that little part of Asia Minor, that they are called to be free. Free from the law, the ancient rules. But there were infiltrators into that Christian community who were telling them that life is still all about laws, about religious rules. Do this, do that. Long hair, short hair. Hats, no hats. Some of you may have experienced this in your church background. Paul says, though, you are called to be free. You have the freedom that God in Christ brings you. But, Paul always has a lot of buts. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, or in another version, to gratify the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Love your neighbour as yourself. Or in other words, life is not just about me. You'd kind of think otherwise as you listen and watch and take in media, social or otherwise. Paul says a few verses earlier, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So the focus of freedom is love. Paul is saying as Jesus did, love for yourself, love for others, and love from and for God. Not indulging ourselves, not spoiling or pampering or pandering or cosseting or coddling or humouring or treating ourselves. So I wonder, how are we indulging our choices? Netflix after a hard day? Overeating after a hard day, or maybe during the hard day, maybe. Overdrinking after a hard day. You know the stuff. I had a hard day. Fill in the gaps. The attitudes. I had a hard day. That's why I was jealous. I was envious. I was enraged. We read Paul's list. Maybe some of the stuff we do is about abusing the good gifts God gave us, indulging in things that are there for a bit, but not for the whole. But as we all sit here feeling really, really guilty and sinking to the ground, Jesus did some stuff for us, didn't he? We can say, God, I did it again. We are indeed works in progress, aren't we? Paul, though, does challenge us. Is it our lifestyle to be caught up in that stuff? Paul would have had a problem with that. Did you pick that up in the reading, that Paul has a problem with that, if it's our lifestyle? But here's a thought. There's another way to think about pleasure, as other than the indulgence and gratification. Another way that word is used is to think of it as desire, as inclination, as preference, as choice, as wish, as a liking, and even as will. So I guess maybe a question we need to ask is, what is it that we really, really want? What would we need to prioritise to make that happen? Paul says, live by the Spirit. Walk by or in the Spirit. I heard over this week, submit to the Spirit. That sounds a little bit like a giving up of freedom. Is it? Or is it using our freedom wisely, lovingly, God helping us, choosing for love? Paul says, The focus of our freedom is love, and the outworking is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit, not fruits, one fruit. All these elements are the natural outworking, the fruit of being in step or living by the Spirit of God. I don't know. I was trying to think, is there some fruit? The first thing I could think of as a fruit that was kind of multifaceted was a bunch of grapes. Some of the grapes are small, some are bigger, maybe some have even shriveled up a little bit. Paul wants us to have juicy, sweet, tasty fruit that blesses others as well as us. So what about joy, cultivating joy? As most of you know, I'm not a gardener. I take pride in my succulents, though. You know, those little things that you can replace very quickly, which may be what I need to do very soon. I have a Hoya. I think it needs something. Maybe seaweed juice? Not 100% sure. What I know about gardeners is they look at what they have to start with. What sort of soil? What's in the soil? What's missing? Paul, I think, is inviting us through this scripture to take a good look at ourselves. What may we be missing that may be stopping us from cultivating fruit, cultivating good, juicy fruit? So how do we cultivate joy? How do we nurture, promote, and encourage joy? As you all sit there, smile. No fake stuff in this place. Well, what is joy? It's a good question, I say. Thanks, Becky, for the topic again. These discussions around joy and pleasure have often confounded me. I've sat in churches where apparently the joy of the Lord is there because it's in a song. Like, I'm turning the clock back a century, maybe. It's deep inside, somewhere, I don't know. Again, I turn to my trusty thesaurus, now on my computer. Joy, pleasure, happiness, delight, enjoyment, bliss, elation, thrill, gladness. Is it either or? I don't know, I'm playing with this either or business. Scripture mentions joy and rejoicing over 400 times, so I guess it's pretty important. What I've noticed, though, as you look into joy in the scriptures, it seems to have a deeper meaning, or could we say a deeper result or outcome, and comes more directly from the source, God the giver, rather than the gift itself. James talks about pure joy. Paul in Thessalonians talks about joy given by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 6, Paul speaks about his troubles. He lives on, beaten, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Paul writes about the Macedonians who are suffering. Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. How is this possible? Paul writes in Romans 14, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, of peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Joy seems to be related to what is lasting. The result is positive and life-giving. Jesus spoke in Matthew 6 about seeking first the kingdom of God, and much more will be added, much more would be given. So maybe, perhaps, we begin with assessing where our values lie, what's truly important to us, what is of lasting value and lasting significance to us. Even if all the things, all the stuff is gone. Maybe it's about using our freedom wisely. We think about the Garden of Eden. There were choices made. Paul says if we live by the Spirit, Let's be guided by the Spirit. That sounds good. But how? You're all sitting there going, how? Aren't you? Even though I'm the why person. Why? How? How do we practically live with the Spirit? How are we guided by the Spirit of God? If we're honest, sometimes we just live on the habits of daily life, don't we? Get up, get going, and get on with it. But I think there is a both and more. We can choose to walk with, live closely to the Spirit of God in the garden of life. Or step away, as I mentioned, and even be tempted by fruit. That's not helpful to us. I think it takes time and sometimes some space or a place to be aware of and to be close to God. Think about it. It's actually the same for pretty much any human relationship. A bit of time and a bit of space. So we talk again about the spiritual habits, ways of living well, ways of walking in step with God that will grow the fruit of the Spirit, that will grow joy and all the other things. Reading scripture. You can do that text for the day, YouVersion, or maybe you've got a devotion book. You've heard this before, haven't you? You can grow in the knowledge and wisdom of God's ways. Dig a bit deeper. Look up the word joy for yourself in the back of your study Bible, your concordance, or go to your app and put in the word joy and see how it fits. Digging deep is a great way of hearing again the message that God loves you, God loves others, God loves you. When someone loves you, don't you feel joy? You can pray for others. Praying for others means the focus is a little bit different. It will improve your connection to love and joy and peace and the rest of it. It will produce fruit. The fruit will grow because you'll be serving others, as Paul says. Another way to use your time and space wisely is to be in community. Don't isolate. It's kind of a two-sided thing, community, isn't it? Let's not wait for someone else to meet our needs, especially because none of us have ESP. We wouldn't know what your need was unless you shared it with us. And the flip side, being there to support others who are in need. There'll be joy in the giving of care. You've experienced that yourselves. Now, that doesn't mean you run yourself ragged either. There is loving yourself. One way of being in community is being in a small group, and a number of you are. And I know on a cold, wet night, it feels like a lot of effort, doesn't it, Pedro? To go out and meet together. I could have picked on a few others too. He is awake. But then you connect. You connect with your group, and there's encouragement and insight and joy in the knowledge and experience of God's goodness toward us and toward others, even in the midst of troubles. You can also come serve. What a great way to develop joy. Get involved in mission and ministry in the kingdom of God. At work, in your leisure, wherever we are, we can be God's kingdom agents. In our church setting, we have many opportunities to serve and to do this with others, to be encouraged and to laugh together, washing dishes in the cafes and at the community meals, setting up and packing up chairs and pews, Sunday in the hall, picking up rubbish you see and popping it in the bin, all that service stuff. Some of us are particularly gifted in serving with glitter and glue with the children. Feel free to step up, talk to Becky. And youth, talk to Liam. It's a little bit like living at home. When we serve together, we get a great result, and there can even be joy in it if we choose not to grizzle. Pitching in and serving helps the cause, brings harmony, and I think it can bring joy. And what about worshipping together? Yep, you can worship God on your own. We've heard people say that. I choose to worship God on my own. And a great way to do that, of course, is to listen to our favourite praise music. In fact, our lives, our work, our calling to be the people of light, wherever we are, is an act of worship. But there's something very special about being together, isn't there? Being together in worship, praising, listening, sharing in prayer. It's fun. Can be fun. Depends on our attitude, what we bring. Another thing I thought about was solitude. We often think, yep, I need solitude, some time and space for myself. That'll bring me joy. Well, I think I might just go down if it was just me and myself. But how about being with God for some moments without interruption? No people, no phone. Maybe doing some artwork. Maybe listening to some music. Maybe stepping out into nature. Maybe journaling. Okay, you've heard it all before. You've heard it all before, plenty of times. A little challenge. Pick one, and if you really game, pick two out of that little list. Choose one now. Commit now. Walk with the Spirit on the practice you've chosen. See where it takes you. I'm pretty sure it will bring a result that may even surprise you. Fruit, joy over momentary pleasure. They say replace a habit with a habit. Replace a habit of attitude or behaviour with another habit that is life-giving. So, we wrap up. Oh, actually, before I wrap up, here's a thought. Tell someone near you, maybe the person next to you, what you've chosen. Are you game? I won't look. I won't look. I'm not looking. I'm not looking. Take a moment, whisper in someone's ear. I'm not looking. I'm not going to hold you to account. I won't hold you. What are you going to do? Read scripture, pray, be in community, small groups, serve, worship, enjoy some solitude. Okay, so we've looked at our freedom. What a gift God gave us. The freedom to choose to live our lives exactly the way we'd like to live our lives. But we have freedom to choose a better way in our attitudes, our feelings and behaviours, don't we? No matter what comes our way. So we've looked a little bit at what gives us pleasure. We know. What gives us joy? I think it's the same word, really. But one sends us off into a positive place because it's long-lasting. It's long-lasting, I think, because God is eternal, long-lasting. We've discovered that we can cultivate joy. We can cultivate good fruit, life-giving fruit, by walking and being guided by the Spirit of God. So, will you choose for the really, really good stuff of life, the lasting stuff? Will you choose for the both and more? Because that's how God blesses us. Amen. I